Praised be Jesus and Mary. In the first reading today, we heard the narration of the martyrdom of St. Stephen in the Acts of the Apostles, the first martyr of the Christian faith. And in the Paschal time, in Paschal tide, the Church has always thought it appropriate to celebrate the martyrs in a special way. And the connection is evident. You know, Christ, you know, spontaneously, you know, of his own will, lays down his life and takes it up again. And Christ, you know, risen from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has any power over him. And so it is with the martyrs who share in the death and in the resurrection of our Lord. So today, we just reflect very quickly on martyrdom in the light of Christ risen from the dead. And we'll look at, two statements of two popes, Pope Benedict XVI and the present Pope, Pope Francis. Once, Pope Benedict said in one of his homilies about martyrdom, he says, "By virtue of that blood, the blood of Christ, by virtue of that blood, we have been purified, sustained by that flame of love, that flame of the love of Christ. The martyrs too poured out their blood and were purified in love, in the love of Christ, who made them capable of sacrificing themselves for love in their turn. Martyrdom is only possible because Christ has given us the example first." St. Augustine just reminded us today in the office, in the Divine Liturgy, what St. John tells us, that, you know, Christ loved us first. That's why we can love him back. He loved us by giving his life for us. That's why we can and sometimes should and sometimes must. God doesn't ask this of everyone, but sometimes he does. That's why sometimes we have to lay down our lives. Christians have to lay down their lives for Christ because he did this first for us. So the Pope goes on, "In the love of Christ, who made them capable of sacrificing for in the love of Christ, who made them capable of sacrificing themselves for love in their turn, we are purified. Jesus said, 'Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends.' Every witness of faith lives in this greater love, and after the example of the divine teacher, is ready to sacrifice his life for the kingdom. In this way, we become friends of Christ. Thus we are conformed to him, accepting the extreme sacrifice without limiting the gift of love and the service of faith. In this way, we become the friends of Christ, accepting the extreme sacrifice without limiting the gift of love and the service of faith." And the Pope goes on, "This 21st century also opened under the banner of martyrdom. When Christians are truly the leaven, light and salt of the earth, they too become the object of persecution, as was Jesus. Like him, they are a sign of contradiction. Fraternal life in common and the love, faith, and decisions in favor of the lowliest and poorest that mark the existence of the Christian community sometimes give rise to violent aversion. How useful it is then to look to the shining witness of those who have preceded us in the sign of heroic fidelity to the point of martyrdom, to the point of shedding their blood. The 21st century has also opened under the banner of martyrdom. You know, we thought that we were, you know, that we live in a civilized society. We left bloodshed behind, but it is not so. People do still have to shed their blood for Christ. And as Pope Francis remarked once, we just have to open newspapers, you know, to have proof of this. You know, just recently, we all heard the news of the Jesuit priest shot, well, beaten, tortured, then shot and killed in Syria because he refused to leave, because he wanted to stay and give witness to Christ amongst Christians, amongst Muslims, you know, to serve like Christ did, and he got his reward. He got the martyr's palm. I remember myself, it was just during my retreat before ordination, you know, cut off from the world. We didn't get any news, but precisely when we were just immersed in prayer and in preparation for our ordination, three men in Syria were dying, their heads cut off with knives. This then, you know, wound up on the internet. One of them, suppose, was allegedly a priest. He was never identified, of course. You know, it was difficult to recover the bodies, but as we speak, perhaps even, you know, Christians are truly being martyred in some distant parts, in some distant part of the world. It's not a joke. It's not just some hypothetical, possibility. We could die martyrs. Somebody might die a martyr. No, it happens all the time. And we could continue giving examples. And this is what, going on now to Pope Francis, this is what he speaks of when he says, today there's an ecumenism of blood. In some countries, they kill Christians for wearing a cross or having a Bible. And before they kill them, they do not ask whether they are Anglicans, Lutherans, Catholics, or Orthodox. Certainly in Syria, they won't ask you. They'll simply kill you. The noble rebels, who fight for the freedom of the country, the first thing that they have to do is wipe out the Christians, but that's not mentioned in the news. Their blood is mixed, the blood of Christians. To those who kill, we are simply Christians, the Pope said. The Pope goes on, this is what ecumenism of blood is. It still exists today. You just need to read the newspapers. Those who kill Christians don't ask for your identity card to see which church you were baptized in. The killers of Christians are able to see something which we Christians perhaps don't see amongst ourselves, can't realize amongst ourselves. They see unity in us. They don't see in us Catholics or Orthodox or Protestants. They see in us Christians. And for that reason, they see in us people deserving death, people that must be put to death. And I think that this is perhaps what the Pope means. This is the true ecumenism of blood. Perhaps that which dialogue, that ecumenical dialogue, which often is watered down, diplomatic, and concludes at nothing, if not just confusion amongst Catholics, especially, perhaps with that which dialogue cannot accomplish, this ecumenism of blood will. Perhaps we too will realize, all Christians will realize, well, perhaps we're not able to, for whatever reason, for whatever obstacles that stand on the way towards unity, we're not able to accomplish it, but that unity which we cannot realize, which we cannot see amongst ourselves, our persecutors do. So maybe the time has come, to give up whatever human divisions have arisen in history. Christ certainly doesn't want divisions in his church. He doesn't want divisions from his church. He wants unity. He wants one church under one shepherd with one faith. And perhaps this ecumenism of blood will help us to arrive there. But if we want to contribute, to this ecumenism of blood, we have to be ready to shed our own blood, to witness to the truth of our love for Christ, to the truth of our own conviction of faith. In this way we become friends of Christ, not just by talking about how much we love him, by showing him how much we love him. So in this sense, we can pray again, just to conclude the collect from the beginning of this Mass. The Church prays today, O God, who opened wide the gates of the heavenly kingdom to those reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, because we have one common baptism, all of us Christians who profess Christ and the Trinity, pour out on your servants an increase in the grace you have bestowed, that having been purged of all sins, from whatever it is that keeps Christians from unity in the Church, whether it be historical issues, moral issues, whatever it is that, whatever sins it is that keep Christians from outside of the Church of Christ, from outside of the Catholic Church, that being purged of all these sins, they may lack nothing that in your kindness you have promised, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Praised be Jesus and Mary.